finally, I've always wanted to do one of those day in the life as a software engineer at X company. But let's actually do the quarantine version of that. Let's get into it.
Are you listening?
You're listening to the People in Tech podcast, a technology show that's made for the people. Join the conversation with your host, Caleb King.
What's up, Day One listeners? Welcome back to the show. And I just want to first say, make sure to like, comment, subscribe. And if you're listening to the podcast, leave a review because we have a $25 Amazon gift card. Our goal for this channel is get to 1,000 subscribers as fast as possible. And what I want to do is reward the Day One supporter, the people who have been with us since day one. So if you can do those things for me, you enter. That's all you got to do. Just do those things and you already enter for a chance to win that $25 gift card. So, like I said earlier, I've always wanted to make one of those a day in the life of a software engineer videos because they're so popular and so many people have done them. But since the office has been closed, I think since March of last year, I just thought it would be really cool to do like the quarantine edition of like what life as a software engineer is like working from home. And I know a few people have done those, but I just kind of want to give my take on it because you know what it is. I like to keep it a little bit more real than maybe some of the other content creators out there. So let me just first start off by saying I was already planning on asking my manager if I could be a hybrid employee. And it was really interesting because right when I was about to, like, I remember drafting up the email and I was like, I was putting in draft the next day. Boom. Everybody gets an email. Hey, all you guys working from home, this coronavirus thing is a big deal. And I was probably at my organization about 2.5 years at this point. And I really do miss the office. I mean, I really thought the outbreak was slowed down. I thought things would start getting better within a few months, but obviously I was wrong like many other people. COVID has definitely changed our lives. Some companies even allowed their companies to work from home forever. And, you know, we're seeing some of those companies, Twitter, Shopify. I even know some companies are struggling with it because it's like they've invested so much in real estate. So that's another episode. As companies are starting to adjust to the new normal, you know, I just wanted to talk about like how it affected my day-to-day as a software engineer. So what I will say, I'm an early riser, so I don't mind waking up early. But what I do like is waking up early and having more time to myself. See, pre-COVID, you know, I would wake up trying to think, what do I need to wear? Am I going to be in traffic? All those types of things would go in your mind. Now, I was just waking up and the morning was mine. If I wanted to make a full breakfast for me and my wife, I could totally do so. If I wanted to read a book in absolute silence, I could totally do so. So, if anything, I really enjoy getting that time back. And I think that was one of the big changes for me was instead of thinking about what I was going to wear, commuting to work, my mornings really were, can I walk my dog? Can I work out? Can I watch the news? Can I work on people in tech? It was just more flexibility. And I felt like I had a little bit more control over my day. So let's do this. Let's create a timeline. So let's say my day started at 6 a.m. I'm getting out of bed. And the first thing I'm doing from, say, 6 to 7, is I'm walking my dog. Try and get as many steps in. And I usually would average it anywhere from 8,000 to 10,000, just depending on if I was a fast walker that day or not. Now, at 8 o'clock, I'm usually either finishing breakfast, wrapping up, you know, maybe a book or a chapter that I'm reading, and I try to get to my desk around 8:30 because my first meeting was at 9. Now, if you're newer in software development, what I highly recommend, if you can wake up early before your first meeting, before you check your email, before you check your messages, go on sites like HackerRank, LeetCode, GitHub, and just work on programming challenges. It's amazing if you just do that 3-4 times a week over the first year or two of your career, you won't ever feel nervous going in an interview. And really, it's probably the best time to kind of like put you in a coding mindset. It's early in the morning. So that's what I recommend. I tried it. I did it for a little bit. I've definitely fallen off the bandwagon. But it's one piece of advice I would give you if you are trying to figure out what to do with your mornings before your first meeting. So at 9 o'clock, I would have my stand-ups. Stand-ups average 15 minutes. Sometimes it go over, usually anywhere from 9 to 9:30. If it's past 9:30, then it's a long stand-up and it's really a one-off. But let's say around 9:30, that's when I get back to my desk. I'll open up my email, my calendar, my sprint board. For those of you who aren't aware, a sprint board pretty much contains all the tasks that the developers are currently working on. And it's how project managers help track the status of a project. So for me, once I would check my email, my calendar, I would just get to work. Usually that first 2 hours from like 9 to 11, I used to call it the golden hours because people are focused. They understand what they need to focus on for that day. And for some reason, like, I'm just more productive and I have easier time focusing on something earlier in the morning than I do later throughout the afternoon. For me, I will always use a Pomodoro timer. Now, my timing was a little different. People do 25-5. I was actually like a 30-10, and that's just my personal preference. But like I said, it really helped me like sit down and say, like, these are the tasks I need to knock out if I want to say today was a successful day. Skipping ahead, 11:30 a.m. By this time, I mean, my team's already met up. We've all sat down. We've all pair programmed. We've talked about what we need to do. We've talked about the work before, what we plan on working on, anything that's blocking us. And also, we would probably be talking about what's for lunch. Now, if you notice, I said we, and I'm talking specifically about me and my wife. Pre-COVID, it was me and my coworkers, but around 11:30, I'm texting my wife, what would you like for lunch? Get in the kitchen, and this is something I really enjoy about Quarantine Edition as a software developer, is I have more opportunities to be healthy. I also had more opportunities to be bad and lazy. And it's unfortunate. COVID weight is a thing. I think they've done some studies that have shown a lot of people have gained a lot of weight over the last year simply because they have just reduced their daily activity. Now, for me, 11:30 to 12 to about 1 o'clock is when I say it's like the official lunch hour. Some people go longer, but let's just say for time's sake, 11:30 to 1 p.m. is lunch hour. So now we're in the 1 to 5 block. And pre-COVID, this is usually a mix of me getting the most productivity out of my day, sitting down, actually writing code, actually being a productive employee, mentoring, coaching, working with business partners, stakeholders, conversations with managers, everything like that. Sometimes it was a combination of meetings in the office, but I will say once we went remote, that 1 to 5 block became this peace, quiet, silence, real productivity time for me. And what I liked about it is I kind of noticed, depending on the team and who you work with, a lot of people now are worldwide. So unlike before, I was on the same time zone with everybody. Now I'm working with people in different time zones. And because we're in different time zones, my 3 o'clock is their 5 o'clock, or maybe my 3 o'clock is their 6 o'clock, whatever the case is, whether they're Midwest or in the East Coast. And I just started noticing like Slack and email would just get really, really quiet towards the afternoon. And I really enjoyed that. However, the one thing I will say of the con is if you did have to have a meeting, you know, it was kind of like it breaks up your day a little bit. But I mean, I will say like I just noticed more meetings were getting put on the calendar in the afternoon. And I noticed they were longer. I feel like some organizations have found ways to kind of limit because Zoom fatigue is a thing, right? Just being in front of a computer all day, being in meetings after meetings after meetings, you really just need time to work as a developer. And I think most developers, their personality will say like, hey, if you put me in too many meetings, I'm going to be completely drained and I won't be able to do any work. So that 1 to 5 block, once we went in the quarantine version of the world, I really felt like that was when I was most productive because I'd actually be able to sit down and just like knock something out. And 4 hours to me is like good enough where you can probably get like a good piece of work done that you can actually like say, this is what I got done for today, and I can call it. Now, the one thing I think you should be doing if you're not doing already is make sure you end the day. And I can't tell you, I work with so many smart people who get so flustered and upset over how things are at their job. You know, why do we use Skype? Why do we do this? We're not agile. Why do we use this language? It's always just complaint after complaint after complaint. That is totally fine. That's going to be anywhere you work, whether you work at Facebook, whether you work at a startup, there's going to be things that are going to be frustrating to you. And what I noticed with remote work is it seems like some people, because they can spend more time working, because you can start the day earlier, no one is necessarily distracting you. You don't have teammates asking you to go out. You don't have managers talking to you, at least not like in person. And it's very hard to shut down. So I have one piece of advice. When you are done for today, whether it's 5 o'clock or whatever it is for you, just close your computer. And if you still feel like there's something you need to be doing, work on personal stuff. It's amazing how so many people would get so caught up in doing something for an organization or a company. And like the company might not be interested. They might not want to pursue your idea. They might not like what you're trying to push. I've seen it happen far too often, and people just get really frustrated and upset and slowly become disgruntled. What my advice is shut down, because the nice thing about being remote is you can use this time to upskill, get certified, learn GCP, learn AWS, learn a new programming language, write a blog, build an app. Like, there's so much you can do that I think people hopefully are using this like new post era of how we work now and taking advantage of it. Because if you didn't learn a new skill in 2020, was it really that you didn't have the time, or you just didn't make the time? And with remote work, you can control your day. I gave you guys a typical day in the life of an engineer post pandemic, but I have plenty of days where I'm like, you know what? I'm waking up at 7. I'm open, or not waking up early, starting work at 7, not going to stop until 7 p.m. Just simply because I want to be super productive. And then that allowed me to kind of have like a really relaxing week, because I was able to just go as long as I needed to without many distractions. However, don't do that to the point where you're becoming frustrated and burnt out. So shut down your computer. And if your brain is still wired to keep going, start putting that time and energy into something that's meaningful to you. And I think that will help you long term, because you're not only start building something for yourself that you're proud of, but it'll just allow you to kind of say, work is work, and this is my personal life. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Like we always say, like, comment, subscribe. Leave a review on a podcast, which we're about to dive into the podcast exclusive. So make sure to check that out, because I'm going to talk about what COVID can do for remote work in 2022. But it's only on the podcast, so you guys know where to go if you want to check that out. But that's all I got for you here. I'm out. Peace.
Podcast exclusive. Exclusive.
What's up, Day One listeners? Thank you so much for checking out this episode. As you know, we already talked about what a day in a life is like for a software developer during the pandemic. And it's really not that exciting. I think for me, if I had to summarize it, and it's hard to do this on a YouTube channel because you got to be short and concise on YouTube. But on a podcast, I just like to speak my mind. And what I really want to say was I had more meetings up front, but my days were quieter. And also, it was just nice because I felt like I had the flexibility of my day. Like, hey, if I want to check the mail, I could go check the mail. I used to have anxiety of like, because I would cook often, guys, and I would make breakfast in the morning, and when I would go into office pre-pandemic, I would be like, crap, did I leave the oven on? Did I leave the stovetop on? None of that. That's all gone being a remote employee. That's probably the best benefit for me. It's like my anxiety has improved just simply due to the fact that I don't have to be concerned of things I'm pretty sure I did, but I don't think I did. So I would say some meetings definitely went long. I think the hardest thing when you're talking about like the quarantine edition of a software engineer is the biggest thing to me were the tooling got exposed. You had a lot of organization who were just not ready for remote work. Like I said, we were on Skype, and this organization I was working at, if it wasn't for COVID, we'd probably still be on Skype till this day. We were going to be on Skype until Skype canceled. Like, I feel like we were the only thing keeping Skype around, because even Microsoft gave up on Skype. But once COVID hit, then leaders and feedback and employees were like, hey, this sucked. I want something better. And that was just my personal experience. I've had some friends who they actually had issue because they had too many softwares. They had WebEx, they had Zoom, and they had Google Meetings, and you had people constantly just setting up meetings and different things and different tools. And it was frustrating because that feedback was, I wish leadership and management would just pick a tool and stick with it. But you know, you can't do that because you can't keep everybody happy, which is why you end up in that situation a lot of the times. But what I did want to talk about in the podcast exclusive here is there's a very popular tweet. Chris Hurd, if you guys don't know him, and he pretty much just is a viral tweet, and I'll just read it out loud. He said, I spoke to $10 billion companies who canceled the return to the office due to the Delta variant. So here are a few predictions of what he thinks is going to happen. I'm not going to give you all of them because it's a long thread and it's a long list, but I will speak to some of them because we've been software developers post-pandemic for a while now. Like I said, it's pretty much meetings are online. A lot of times you're clicking on your computer and you're like, yeah, I can hear you. Mic check. Yep, I can hear you. Yes, I can see your screen. I mean, how many times have you all said stuff like that just throughout the day, right? It's just like the new first world problem. But going back to this thread, the reason I wanted to use this for the podcast exclusive is I felt it was really appropriate of what I think could happen in 2022. So the very first thing that like no one is talking about, and I'm seeing it with a few organizations, is the office death. What do I mean by that? Well, see, when the pandemic first hit, a lot of conversation was, well, you know, it might subside in 6 months, a year, we'll be back to normal. Even Biden and Trump were both saying, we'll have a vaccine and this time next summer, we'll be fine. And like, that just didn't happen. We know it didn't happen. But what people weren't talking about is like, you have these companies that are in leases. And as the Delta variant started popping up, some organizations were like, well, we can't just force people to go back in the office. But that means another year of having a vacant office. We're paying a lot of money. It's a lot of, like, imagine the electric bill at your office. I hate paying my electric bill in Arizona for air conditioning. Imagine what the electric bill for a corporate office is. And just from a financial standpoint, if I was the CFO, I'd probably like, hey, be like Shopify, go remote. Be like, what's the point of having an office if half the employees aren't there? And we don't expect them to come back within the next year or two. Maybe we should just adopt this fully remote thing. Maybe we should open up our talent pool. Instead of limiting it to where we are, maybe we should just open it up to the world and see if we can get the best talent. So by the time people can return to the office, a lot of companies just aren't going to have a space for them to return to. Their leases are going to go out, and they might not renew them, and they might just have to make a different decision at that point in time. I've seen some organizations, I feel for the ones where they're like, hey, we are setting up a headquarters in a new location, probably invested 10 years in that location, and then like COVID hit. And now it's like, yeah, we've had this office for 2 years, but now I don't know if it's, is there a point of having this office? Like, what should we do? Now, this next one, I know my mother-in-law would be a big fan of, but you have City Flight. What is City Flight? Workers will continue to leave the big cities because if they're not tied down to their office and they don't want to spend $5,000 a month in rent if you live in LA or $6,000 a month in rent if you live in New York, you know, many are going to just quit their jobs. Like, they're straight up. Like, I kind of laugh because I do feel like there is a old guard, new guard mentality. I think old guard people are like, you can't work at Morgan Stanley and get paid Morgan Stanley salary and you live in Arkansas. And I just asked the question, I'm like, why not? If I'm doing my job, if I'm doing what you asked me to do, why does my location matter? I know it's maybe a little bit more complicated than that, but like, I really feel like that's the gist of it. I think you have some people who are just like, we don't like how people have this freedom. We don't like how they can just do this to us now. And it's like, yeah, you don't have control over your employees like you used to. And I think a lot of organizations are struggling with that. But yeah, going back to City Flight, people are moving from big cities into small. I even have like coworkers where like when I was talking to them, they're like, I might just retire. I was like, whoa, like in your 30s? They're like, well, I can't retire in this city, but I could retire in my hometown of like 1,000 people and buy myself a really nice big house and get all the things I want and have a safe environment for my kids and have family by me. Because reality is a lot of us leave our hometowns to go to a bigger city because You're looking for that opportunity. You're looking to advance your career. You're looking to do a multitude of things. Another thing going into city flight is rural living. Many people, particularly those with families, they're going to move to the rural areas. Like, you know, my family-in-law, like, they all live in the Midwest. And it's always this fun conversation I have when, like, my mother-in-law comes in town because she grew up in a town of, like, 2,000 people. Same hospital, everybody knows each other, kids are roaming around. If you've ever, like, checked out Jubilee on YouTube, they have, like, a city versus country episode. And I highly recommend you checking it out because it's one of those middle ground, like, hey, can we find middle ground? And the funny thing was, see, I grew up, I don't want to say I grew up in the city, but I just grew up in a more densely, I grew up in the suburbs of Los Angeles. So I was secluded, like, I wasn't, like, in the inner city, but I didn't know everybody in my town. You know, we had, you know, town after town. Like, if you want, like, it's crazy when I go to Midwest because, like, I land and I'm on the highway for, like, 2 hours and I don't see a house. Or you see houses few and far between. And I'm so used to, like, you know, Los Angeles and New York where it's, like, there is no way you cannot see people and you cannot see houses. But rural living is becoming more popular because what I call a second-tier real estate. You have a lot of people who have money, but they cannot afford where they currently live, but they can afford a house maybe somewhere in Minnesota, Arkansas, North Dakota, whatever the case is. Now, another one I wanted to highlight that I saw in this thread, Chris talks about hybrid conflict, and I have to agree with this one. What companies think is hybrid work and what workers think it is, They're totally different things. Like I got friends who are, you know, they've been at some organizations for a prolonged period and you're like, hey man, what are you doing? They're like, you know, I've kind of just stopped trying to do the rat race and climb the corporate ladder. And really what I want to do is, yeah, I think I want to start biking middle of the day. I think I want to start working out. I think I want to work on my side business more. I think I want to do whatever it is. Workers think hybrid means able to work remotely whenever they want. Companies think it means telling workers when they must attend. So that is a very interesting conversation. And what's going to happen in 2022, it's going to be a huge resentment because the one thing you're kind of seeing is a shift in power. Like right now, a lot of corporations have a lot of power over people because, you know, jobs are hard to find. And location was always a factor. Now, that's not necessarily the case. A lot of places are hiring remote work, so not only are more opportunities available for you, you have the flexibility to work in different places and different time zones, but some organizations, they want to tell you, you need to be working these hours. Now, I have some friends, can't reveal who they are, but I have some friends who are, they totally love their schedule because they pretty much do all their work from like 5 to like, I think 1. And my one friend, the early riser, like I said, in Phoenix, everybody's the early riser. He does like 5 to 1. And then after that, he just like focuses on his like training because he's like a huge fitness person. So he's like, yeah, if anything, I've just dedicated more time to my training in the afternoon and I just do my job early in the day. But I asked him, how would you like to do it? He was like, oh, I would start my day later. And I would just push my training a little bit later. And I was like, why don't you do that? He's like, they have core hours and they won't let us go outside of that. So I think it's interesting because hybrid conflict is going to be coming and I agree with them on that one. Let's see what else else. Construction cancellation. Nah, we don't care about that one. We do, but we don't. Global hiring. Almost everything will be expanded to areas. So yeah, global hiring. He's talking about almost everything. Almost everything companies will begin expanding the areas in which they hire. Why? See, I hate when people put on tweets to try to be smart and you can't understand what they're saying. But I think what you're trying to highlight is you have more opportunity to reach out to a larger crowd. So you're going to hire people globally. You're going to hire them, you know, on different time zones. You don't care as long as they can do the job, they can communicate. Because like for me, I don't care what time zone you're in, as long as you can hop on the meeting. As long as you don't have, like, my biggest issue right now is people who are like, I have connection issues, I have audio issues. I'm like, man, it's 2021, fix that. Chris mentions in the next piece here, let's see here, what else is interesting? Hyper turnover. The workers have seen how their companies intend to remote work. Many don't like what they've seen. So we're about to live through the highest period of turnover between companies in history as people find companies who will give them what they need. I can 100% agree with this statement because you have a lot of companies who have gone fully remote. And because they made that move, they've been able to recruit certain talent they weren't able to get before. Like I've known some organizations where they always recruited from like the same university. They've already did their internships from the same school they got. And again, you can get great talent doing that. But then once they opened up the doors, it was like, holy crap, we're getting a lot of talent from all over the place. And again, it's just another opportunity for people to kind of build a life that they want to live. I think that's probably the biggest change or shift you're seeing is people are now feeling like, I can control my lifestyle. I don't have to conform to what this company wants me to do. Ooh, here's another one, office furniture. So Chris says the best companies in the world would care about their people the most. Making sure workers are safe, comfortable, and productive at home as in the office is essential. Great companies will help employees with office and furniture and setup. Bad ones won't. I think we've all have at least one or two experiences where you worked at an organization where they don't give a fuck about you. Everything they give you is used, broken. You send in a request, it doesn't get resolved. You're just in a situation where everything just isn't going your way. I've been there. But then you're going to have some organizations where they do care. They want you to do well, so they're going to have, instead of putting all that money into an office, like an actual physical office for us to go to, they're probably setting it up where you can order stuff. Maybe they have a partnership so you can all get standing desk or a discount on certain monitors. So I think companies who realize like remote work isn't going to go away, they're going to invest into making sure people have what they need to be successful. Ooh, I think this one's my favorite one, guys. So async emerges. So remote work has lasted for so long, people are fatigued by the office and we're fatigued trying to replicate the office. So, you know, being on video calls, like I mentioned earlier in the show, like being on meetings all day, Zoom fatigue is a thing. And don't get me wrong, it makes you feel busy, but it crushes productivity. Like I know, like as a team lead, I feel like I have this in back-to-back-to-back-to-back meetings nonstop and wasn't getting anything done, but I felt productive because I was talking to people all day. So I'm noticing more and more companies are probably going to be moving toward like this asynchronous type of work where it's like, hey, here's the task. Go ahead and do them when you want as long as you get them done by X date. So with that being said, if things are going to be more asynchronous, things are also going to be a little bit more time deadline sensitive as well. And I think, let's see here, going down, he mentioned about habits fix, you know, he's pretty much highlighting, it's going to be hard to go back. I think we're all seeing that. But anytime somebody's like, you have to go back to the office, I can't tell you how many people, like at least 50% or more heard that statement and they threw up the peace sign. Deuces, I ain't coming back. You know, like I saw that one, I call him, he's a clown. He's an effing clown. This guy, whoever works at Morgan Stanley, who's trying to say, if they don't come back by a certain date, they lose their jobs. I bet so many people are like, sweet, don't want to work here anyways. Like, I'm done. If you're going to make me come back, I don't want to come back. And then, yeah, like he mentioned some things like commuting death. We know commute's dying, remote savings. So actually, let's read this one. Remote savings. So spending $10,000 to $50,000 per worker on an office space each year will never happen again. Companies just save the cash or use it to retain or attract upcoming talent. I 100% agree with this one because it's like anything else. If I'm not putting millions of dollars into real estate, where else can I put that money? And sometimes you don't need to reinvest it. You should. But sometimes people just hold on to it. They're just going to stack the cash and then maybe it's like, hey, we can do sign-on bonuses. Or if you come over here, we can do X, Y, and Z. I think the one that really gets to me is the school closure. So I'm a parent. So Chris mentions in this long thread, like I said, it's a long thread. So I'm only highlighting the ones that come to me. But he's mentioning school closures and he's saying, school closures will happen. I know my daycare got shut down. My daughter's at home. We've been exposed and we're dealing with it. It sucks. And like my company, the company I worked with, they're super cool because they even have like a COVID like project bucket to be like, hey, you know, you need to put your hours over there. And I thought that was just like really like thinking about employees because, yeah, if you get COVID, I don't want to take PTO 2 weeks for me to recover. Like, this is a worldwide thing. It affects all of us. And the best companies will help their help their employees, help their workers get through these closures. And some of the worst companies are be like, you're on your own. And when people hear other companies are offering that benefit, they will jump after the offer. You guys get what I'm saying. I'm kind of mumbling now. You can tell I get tired when I'm recording sometimes, but that's all I really got for you guys today. I mean, keeping it 100 with you, like, remote work to me is here to stay. And what I'm actually interested in is, you know, businesses are slow because they're greedy in America. And if it don't make money, it don't make sense. But see, now we're fucking with their money. Now you're talking about leases, you're talking about offices, you're talking about a lot of money that used to be going towards something that isn't going towards that anymore. So what do you do moving forward? So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Make sure to leave a review because, like I said earlier, you can get a $25 Amazon gift card. That's big money. You can buy, I don't know, maybe a People in Tech shirt. All right, guys. That's all I got for you. Hope you enjoyed this episode. I'm out. You know where to find me if you got questions.
Peace.
Thanks for joining us on the People in Tech podcast. For resources mentioned in this episode, visit us at peopleintech.io and join our mailing list for more content. Later.